I don't have a little L, Lord. I got a big L, Lord. That's Jesus. Amen. So be a leader led by the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read what the Word of God has to say. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 14. The Word of God says this. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to much wine, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and to the devil's trap. Verse 8. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Verse 11. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Verse 12. A deacon must be the husband of one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who serve well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nation, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. That's Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to hear your word, to study your word. And Lord God, may your word have an effect on us. May your word change our character, change our heart, change our motivations, change our perspective. May we be changed into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must be just like John the Baptist. We must decrease and Jesus must increase. So Father God, we pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that if there's any sin in this house this morning, convict us of sin. May we repent of that sin and may we be a usable vessel for our King Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Content of today's message is be a leader led by the Lord. I would say that the Apostle Paul was a leader led by the Lord. Was Paul perfect? By no means. Paul himself would tell you there's not but one perfect one, and that's Jesus Christ. But Paul made sure that everything he did was backed with the love of Jesus Christ, was backed with wrath of God. Paul wanted people to understand that there's a price for sin, and that price was paid for in full by Jesus Christ. Paul wanted people to understand that when you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you should be changed by God's Holy Spirit. You should not be that person you were the day before you got saved. You should be progressing. We don't like that church these days, progressives. But you should be progressing in your walk with Jesus. You know, you shouldn't be a babe for 40 years in Christ. You should not be a baby in Jesus for 40 years. You shouldn't be a baby in Jesus for 10 years. Maybe 5 years. I'm going to tell you what. There are some areas in my walk with the Lord where I'm still a baby at it. But I am growing. I'm looking forward to the day that I start getting more meat in my diet. Amen. But right now, there are some things I'm still a little babe on, you know. But I'm allowing God to nurture me and to grow me in the faith. And that growing process, you can ask Paul, it was tough. Look at all the things Paul went through to get to this point where he's writing a letter to Timothy. He had been flogged, he had been shipwrecked, he'd been bit by a snake. I hate snakes. Lord God, if I got to get bit by a snake to learn something, Lord, don't do that. I mean, you know, what I got to learn? Wear snake boots, I guess. But, you know, Paul had been through it. You know, been stoned. Anybody all been hit by a rock? I hit a boy with a rock one time. We're going to save that for next week. Look, I'm glad you're sitting in the back this morning. Hopefully the mic didn't pick that up. Praise the Lord. But it's the truth. Paul had been through some things. What better way to be a mentor and a teacher when you've been through some things? Paul's able to take that knowledge he's been through and pass it on to Timothy. Man, Timothy had a wonderful opportunity at this church he was pastoring to take what he's learning from Paul and to apply it at his church in a godly way. Paul wants Timothy to be successful in Christ. We should want to be successful in Christ. We should want other churches to be successful in Christ. I do not want the First Baptist Church of Reynolds to not be successful. I hope they baptize 100 people today. I want Taylor Mill to be successful. I want every church that has Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I want them to be successful. Now, there's a church preaching anything other than Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Well, ain't but one way to get saved. Not saved by works, lest any man should boast. You're saved by that simple, childlike faith in Jesus Christ. Simple faith. If there's churches preaching salvation in Christ and Him alone, I want them to be successful. But I also want them to be led by the Lord. Sometimes success can be motivated by own personal aspirations. Sometimes success can be motivated by money, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I want the success here at Heritage Baptist Church to be motivated and directed by Jesus Christ Himself. I want to see people get saved. I cannot wait for the day because it's coming. I'm telling you right now, as God is not only my Lord and my God, but has my witness this morning, the better days are ahead of us. I'm telling you, God's got a plan for this church. He does. Didn't give us property to cut grass on. He's got a plan for this church. Now, how all that unfolds and how it gets put together, do not ask me. I don't have all the answers. I got one answer this morning. 2 + 2 = Jesus. Amen. Paul says to Timothy, first Timothy, if anybody desires to be an overseer or a pastor, King James Version says a bishop. If anybody desires to be an overseer of God's church, of the church that Jesus Christ founded on Calvary's cross, if anybody desires to be a leader of God's house, they need to set their heart and be sold out to Jesus. First, a man who, look at verse 1, a man or person who desires to watch over God's people desires a noble task. It's a royal position to be in. It's a very privileged position to be in as a pastor. This is an amazing thing that God has done for me in my life. I do not want to take it for granted. I do not want to take it lightly. I have a great responsibility up here to preach the word like it's supposed to be preached. I can't water it down. I have to say it like it is. Let it fall where it falls. If you get offended, take it up with God, not with me. I got to preach. I got to teach. And I have to hold myself accountable for what I do behind this pulpit. I have to. If anybody ever comes up to me, can I share a testimony? I have to protect the pulpit. I can't just let anybody up here. And we'll get that in a minute. I can't let a rookie just jump up and do stuff. There's a timing of everything. Amen. Well, Paul says, Timothy, you need to make sure your heart is set on the things of God. Be sold out to God. Your heart has to be sold out to serve God's people. There's nothing like being under a disgruntled overseer. I've been there. There's nothing like being under an overseer that doesn't want to be the overseer. There's nothing like being under an overseer who is tired of being the overseer. Paul wants Timothy to be an overseer that's sold out to Jesus. that's sold out to God's people, that's in it for the right reasons. If you're an overseer and you're not in it to bring God glory, you don't need to be an overseer. Overseeing a church, being a pastor of a church, being a bishop of a church, leading the church, following the direction of the Holy Spirit is an awesome responsibility. And you need to pray, you need to seek God's will, and you don't need to quit. We talked about that last night down in Ellaville, Georgia. We was at a church called Overflow Church. And the steak and baked potatoes last night were overflowing. The cheesecake was overflowing. Well, after we had physical food, we got some spiritual food. And when we left, I was overflowing. It was great. Wonderful night in the Lord. Well, when I left there, I asked myself the question, am I sold out to Jesus? You know, have I sold out completely? Have I given everything over to the Lord and said, take me, use me, mold me, lead me? I do believe that I do that more and more each day. A little bit of me surrenders more and more each day. It's hard to surrender to God when you're so used to controlling everything. And you hear people say it all the time, let go and let God. And that's an easy slogan and a bumper sticker. It just is. Especially when you're a control freak like me. You always got to be in control. But I've learned that when you let go and you let God and you just sell out completely to God and sell out to Jesus, and then you got to be sold out to sharing the gospel with the lost. You got to be sold out. You got to be who Christ has made you all the time, not just on Sundays. You know, if you go visit somebody on Wednesday night, drop off some peaches. Be who you are in Jesus Christ. Share with them the love of Jesus Christ. Leave the results up to Him. Amen. Paul says, Timothy, set your heart to be sold out for Jesus. Paul then says, set your behavior on God's word. Let's look at what God's word says, verse 2 through 7. Verse 2 through 7, the apostle Paul says this to Timothy. Now the overseer must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to much wine, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Last verse, verse 7. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. First thing, this caught my attention last night when Brother Barry Fleming said this, that men's fellowship. Paul says it here to Timothy when it talks about the husband and one wife. That means being faithful. I got one wife now. I don't have another one hiding out in a nook and cranny over in Casita. I got one wife. I can only handle one wife, so you ain't got to worry about that with me. But that being said, I need to be faithful. If I'm faithful to my wife 362 days out of the year, am I faithful to her? No, I'm not. I got to remember there's 365 days in a year. And let's get real confused. If you add in a leap year, there's 366. Right? Am I right there, Jake? Is my math good this morning? Praise God. All right? I got to be faithful to God. An overseer has to be faithful. An overseer has to be self-controlled. I can't be given to much wine. Does that mean I shouldn't drink at all? Well, look, my family, we come from a very noble family. We come from a long line of drinkers. I know that I don't need to drink. I don't. We come from that genetic disposal to be a drunk. I don't want to be a drunk. I don't want to drink. I don't want to be given to any wine. But I definitely don't want to be given to much wine, because when you get what happens, you get stupid. Stupid, right? Apostle Paul saying, Timothy, if you're going to oversee the church, best bet you don't set yourself up for an opportunity to be stupid. Don't drink, Timothy. Don't be given to too much wine. Now, you know, I did a wedding one time, and they asked me to do the toast, and it was wine. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't even drink, Jake. I was like, and they want me to give a toast. So I didn't let it bother me, you know. I really didn't. I said, you know what, hand me the wine. And I can't stand alcohol at all, but I gave the toast to the bride and the groom. And I drank the wine and I sipped it down. I was like, oh my Lord, I mean, that's disgusting stuff. I'm thinking, myself, how do people drink this stuff? But anyways, I drank it down. And you know, when I got done, I didn't feel guilty at all. I didn't. You know, I got freedom in Christ. Now, I'm not saying you got freedom to go home and get drunk every day, because that ain't freedom. You borderline abusing God's grace in your life, and you keep that up, guess what's going to happen to you? But I didn't feel guilty when I did that, not one bit. Doesn't bother me. You know, what a man does in his own household between him and God, I'm not going to go around playing the narcs or the police, the church police. You know who they are. They exist. Oh, church police, what's that in your refrigerator? Well, none of your business, man. It's my refrigerator. But anyways, I digress. We don't need to get drunk as an overseer. You're just setting yourself up for failure. You really also, and me personally, I don't want to drink because I don't know who's having a problem with drinking. So I definitely don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody. I don't want to drink in front of somebody that's really struggling with it. They're recovering alcoholic, and they see. I don't want to place a millstone around my neck. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to cause harm. As an overseer, the responsibility should be to do no harm. No harm. Paul says, don't get drunk. Don't fight. Woo, that's a 6-week sermon series in a Baptist church. Don't fight. Why are we fighting so much? Don't fight as an overseer. Brother Barry shared an example of a fight, of a verbal fight he got into when he was a young pastor. He had been pastor 5 years, and there was a woman. You remember the story? Bo, there was a woman in the church, and she was a big woman. Big woman, right? You know, Brother Barry said, I'm not going to get into how big she was. She was just a big woman. And he said, at the church, there was a small toilet. And it was just uncomfortable for her. And her husband was in charge of the maintenance of the church, right? So you would think that her husband would take over and would order a larger toilet and help his wife out. But what happens is, her husband waits till business meeting and calls out Brother Barry and blames it on Brother Barry because they haven't gotten a bigger toilet yet. So Brother Barry said, I had had enough in that business meeting. He goes, now I was a young pastor. I know this was wrong, but this is what it did. Brother Barry said he threw his Bible and he sat down. He says, if you think you can run the business meeting better than me, get up there and do it. And I'm like, that sounds like Barry, you know. But then Barry said, that was the biggest mistake I ever made. He goes, you know what ended up happening? I ended up apologizing to that woman. I ended up asking forgiveness from her husband. He goes, and I ended up buying a bigger toilet. Sometimes we gotta set aside that sin that comes from anger. Notice I didn't say don't be angry. It's okay to get angry. We're gonna get angry. But what Barry said last night, that anger led to sin. You know, he really did some things he shouldn't have done. But sin for a believer gets led to repentance because of the Holy Spirit's power to convict us. Amen. And that's what happened to Barry. He said, I was convicted of sin. I apologized and I took care of it in a godly way. But we're going to make mistakes. Amen. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have problems. Apostle Paul also says to Timothy, don't be greedy. Don't be in it for the money. Odds are, Jennifer, I hope you're ready for this. Odds are, Jennifer, my wife, Jennifer, I love you. Odds are, we are not going to be millionaires. I just want to let you know. If you were holding out for Kevin to hit it big, just I'm telling you right now, I'd be lucky to get to first base. I'm just telling you, we're not going to be millionaires. But there's a song on the radio that says, how's it go? Who sings that song? He's a millionaire. What's his name? Chris Stapleton. He sings a song. And he ain't got a whole lot of nothing, but he's got love. And that love makes him a millionaire. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm a gazillionaire because of Jesus Christ. I got all the love I can handle. Give me some more love, Jesus. So Jennifer, we ain't got a whole lot of money. We got a whole lot of love. Amen. We've been living on love for a while. That's another song. Praise the Lord. Living on love. Paul says, don't be greedy. Timothy, If you want to get rich, you might want to stop preaching. It's, you know, and for those preachers out there that are on TV and got all that money, you know, whatever. My goal is to be like Barry Fleming one day, my pastor. My goal is just to be like him. You know, he come to me last night and I told him we was raffling off a cooler. I said, "Hey, Brother Barry, we're raffling off a Yeti cooler." He says, "Man, that's great." He goes, "I'll buy one of your raffle tickets, you buy one of my raffle tickets." I said, "What are y'all raffling off?" God's honest truth, here it comes. We're raffling off a Rolls Royce. I went, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "I ain't living right, man. All I got's a cooler." He said, "Somebody donated to the church a Rolls Royce. And he's going to raffle off the ticket for a Rolls Royce." Whether God gives you a cooler or whether he gives you a Rolls Royce, he's still God. How much are the tickets? Praise God. I say we just go in together and let's try to win that thing. Then we raffle it here. Amen. Look, God said, don't be greedy, Timothy. Paul says to Timothy, don't be greedy. It ain't about that, man. And manage your household first. Timothy, if you're going to lead God's house, your house needs to be swept. Your house needs to be cleaned. Your house needs to be in order. Because how are you going to be able to manage God's house if you can't manage your own house? Timothy, take care of your home. And be good at taking care of your home in a godly way before you ever try to be a leader in God's house. Now that we've talked about the pastor for 30 minutes, man, I'm tired of talking about myself. Tired of throwing all these things that I got to do. Amen. Let's talk about the deacons. I love talking about deacons. You know, they say in some churches that the most difficult relationship is between the pastors and the deacons. I've seen that. I have seen some deacons, man. They're like God's bouncers. You know, if the preacher, I've seen a deacon, and I've also heard of a deacon. I'm not pointing at Bobby. I'm just saying I've heard of a deacon. Bobby hasn't done this. Y'all don't look at him like that. But I've heard of a deacon go up to a pastor and say that he shouldn't preach on, you ready? You shouldn't preach on sex in church. First of all, God made it. Second of all, I'd rather young people hear about the boundaries of sex in church than hear it about Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at school. I'd rather them hear about how to be godly. Be godly. Get married. Amen. Huh. These days, people don't even get married no more. They just do what they want to do. It's always just, we just go wherever the wind carries us. One day, the wind's going to carry them to hell. All because they want to do what they want to do. Manage your household first, Timothy. Watch out for rookie mistakes. Deacons, listen up. First thing you need to do, look at verse number 8 through 10. Verse number 8 through 10, deacons, we're talking to you now. Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep a hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. First, deacons, you have to have the same desires and traits as the pastor. You have to be faithful. You have to be self-controlled. You have to be hospitable. You don't need to be getting drunk. I'm not saying that you can't go have a beer when you're fishing for catfish. I don't care, okay? Check this out. Just don't get drunk, because if you fall in the river and drown, guess whose fault that is? That's not the catfish's fault. Don't get drunk, amen? Don't fight, deacons. Please don't. Go out there and punch the tree before you punch somebody. Don't do that. Turn a money table over before you hit somebody in the head. Amen. Don't fight. It's a waste of time. Don't be greedy. Deacons, if you think you're going to get rich being a deacon, guess what? Go ahead and apologize to your wife right now. You're not going to get rich neither. Or either. Deacons, make sure you manage your household well before you ever try to manage God's household. These same things apply to you. Deacons, watch out for rookie mistakes. You're going to make mistakes just like I made mistakes, but watch out for them. If you learn how to bind this thing called a tongue, you'll be a successful deacon. Deacons, also set your attention on truth. Hold and protect the truth. You know the number one job, I believe, for a deacon is this, to actually be God's bouncers in the church. Now, don't look at me weird like that, and let me explain what I mean. Your job is to be the truth bearer in this church. No matter who's behind this pulpit, God could call me out of here tomorrow. I don't know. No matter who's behind this pulpit, you two have an obligation to protect this church according to God's word. If anybody ever gets behind this pulpit, let's say tomorrow I get run over by an emu. Don't laugh. There's emu out there by the property. Seen an emu out in the field the other day. It's a property I'm looking. I'm like, why is there an emu in the middle of Marion County? There was an emu, right? Let's say tomorrow I go out there and look at that property and I get run over and stomped to death by an emu. What a hilarious way to die, by the way, but I hope it doesn't happen. But let's say it happens. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes in and says, I'll fill in for y'all. And the first time he fills in, he talks about works-based salvation. Deacons, you have a responsibility to hold that man accountable for teaching false doctrine in this church. Our salvation is based on the finished works of Jesus Christ and Him alone. You can't add to it, and you can't take away from it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you got to hold me accountable. Look, I'm in the flesh. I'm very liable to misquote or misspeak something. If you ever hear me misquote or misspeak, come up to me and say, hey, what did you mean by this? But one thing I love about you guys, especially Bobby Brown, I'm not trying to toot his horn this morning. He doesn't like to have his horn tooted. But the thing I love about you guys have always been honest with me. You've always come to me and talked to me. And there's some pastors that just can't take that. I can take it, please. Come to me, talk to me, man. Encourage me. Let me know an area you see that I need to allow God to work on. I'm cool with what people call criticism. I don't call it criticism. I call it constructive language. Y'all write that down. We're going to trademark that and put on a bumper sticker. We're going to be a millionaire, Jennifer, off of bumper stickers. Constructive language, amen. I'd rather construct than destruct. Deacons, set your attention on the truth. Hold and protect the Word of God. Deacons, serve with all of your heart. Deacons, I'm gonna call you out. You ready? I need both of y'all to be the number one soul winners in this church. I do. Church members, I need y'all also to be the number one soul winners in this church. Everybody's a soul winner. Everybody can win souls to Jesus. Brother Barry Fleming last night shared the story of the first person he led to Christ. And he said all he knew was that Jesus died and paid for this guy's sins. He said, that's all I knew to tell him. And then months later, that guy's wife got killed. And that guy calls Brother Barry on the phone, bawling his eyes out. Because now he's got three kids. His wife is dead. I think she died at what? I think he said 35. Three kids. Now this soldier's got just his kids to take care of, and this soldier called Barry, who wasn't a pastor. Barry hadn't been to seminary. Barry just got saved, man, and shared the gospel with this guy one time. Now, all of a sudden, months later, this guy's calling him, crying on the phone. And Barry says, all I knew to do was to share Jesus with this man the best way I knew how to do it. And Barry says, all I said was, man, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His one only begotten Son. Who shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He goes, and then I said, I think I remember telling him that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And man, you just need to get saved. He goes, and I led that guy to the Lord over the phone. God can use a phone. God can use the pulpit. God can use the internet. God can use an emu if He needs to. Amen. God can use anyone. The issue is, are you willing to submit to Him to use in you? Be a leader led by the Lord. Paul's saying, pastors, overseers, set your heart, be sold out to God, be sold out to God's people, be sold out to the lost, sold out as a leader. And when you're an overseer, be under Jesus. That's hard for a lot of people in positions. They get into a high position. They think they're all that in a bag of chips, RC Cola, moon pie, and a honey bun. And they forget that they're an under-shepherd. You're an under-shepherd. So in a leadership position, you've got to be under Jesus. Whether you're a pastor, a bishop, a deacon, or an elder, as a leader in God's house, you have to be led by the Lord. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is not your Lord, then you do not need to be a leader in God's church. And that's the truth. Now I want to back up to one thing that Paul mentions to Timothy. He mentions to Timothy that nobody should be a novice who wants to serve in an overseer position. Let me explain what that means. And I believe we make this mistake a lot in church, especially in small churches with low numbers. We get somebody that comes through the door, and after they've been here 2 or 3 months, we're like, hey, you can take over Sunday school. We're so happy. Here, you can take 4th through 6th grade. Have fun. Or somebody comes in, oh, you can play the guitar. Ooh. How long have you been here? 2 days? Perfect. Come on down to God's house, play the guitar. Look, I've made that mistake, okay? I've made that mistake about getting so excited that people are coming to church. Man, I just want them to serve Jesus. But you know what? Before somebody can serve Jesus, they got to be in the fold. They got to be surrendered. They got to be yielded. And they got to prove themselves a little bit. They've got to show that they're sincere and not just here. Some folks are just here. Sometimes you go, why are they here? What are they up to? Look, God's got his people, amen? Satan's got his too. Our job is to be able to recognize the difference. And let me tell you something. Satan's people stick out like a sore thumb. God's people shine like a light on a shining hill. I want to be a leader led by the Lord. Sold out. 100%. And I want you guys to be sold out too. Because I believe, and I believe it's the day I go home and be with the Lord, that our best days as a Christian are ahead of us. They're not behind us. Because each day that goes by, we get one day closer to being in the presence of Jesus Christ. I'm ready. Are you? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you now, Lord God. We thank you for our salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to shine light, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at a neighbor's house or a stranger's house or at the Dollar General or at the Dollar Tree, Lord God, wherever we are, allow us, Lord. Remind us, Lord, that you want to use us, Lord. And Lord, may we never pass judgment, but may we pass on the good news of the gospel. There's good news this morning. Jesus saves. There's good news this morning. Your sins have been paid for through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. There's good news this morning. Jesus Christ didn't just die. Jesus Christ overcame death and is alive today. A risen Savior. If you're hearing the gospel message this morning for the first time, you are blessed. Because a message has been delivered to you. One, that you're a sinner. Two, that you need a Savior. Three, that you can't save yourself. And fourth, Jesus can save you. All you got to do is ask Him. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Lord Jesus, save me today, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. Set me free of the penalty of sin, which is death. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you paid for my sins on Calvary's cross. I believe that you laid in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. Lord Jesus, I believe on the 3rd day you were resurrected. Lord Jesus, your word tells us that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, Lord Jesus, I'm calling upon you now. If you prayed that prayer this morning, if you prayed that prayer listening to a message you just found on the internet, if you prayed for salvation in Jesus Christ, you'll get it. You'll get the forgiveness that you so desperately need.